Some devotees think that when they put some product on fire, then the fire purifies this from bad karma. But then from what you said, we can see that it's not the fire which is purifying, but Krishna. So what, please, can you comment on this?
That the fire purifies something from karma.
Yes, they put this bread on fire and...
That would be a really easy way of getting free of karma. You just heat everything up. You could just have a bhatta program. You put everyone in hot water, and then they can they become karma free. It depends what type of fire it is. The real fire represents the real pure fire of devotion, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir. So if that fire that you're burning in the kitchen is really a fire which is representative of pure devotion to Krishna, then yeah, it can burn it. It can burn up all karma. However, there may be so many aspects of making things pure or perfect in Kali Yuga. The ultimate fire that purifies things is real devotion, and particularly chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada also would say that if you pay for something, that also purifies. But does that mean that everything we purchase is pure just because we've paid for it?
So
people are freed from a certain aspect of karma by paying for something, because by paying for it, then you become absolved from a certain portion of the activity or sinful activity involved in something. You didn't do it, but rather you just paid someone else to do it. Therefore, you're free from a certain aspect of that sin. But there may still be so many other factors involved in terms of real purity. Because all of this is more or less within the sphere of karma, by karma I mean by karma kanda, or fruit of activities of Vedas, how you purify something. You become free of karmic reaction by fire. You become free of karmic reaction by paying, which is another type of fire. You become free of karmic reaction by austerity.
By
austerity. But being free of karma and being pure are not the same thing, at least not the way we count something to be pure. For instance, a yogi may burn up all of his karma, but he may not have love for Krishna. We count purity in terms of something positive, not in the terms of the absence of something negative. So when you say that bread becomes pure by fire, or things become pure by being cooked, or so many other things, maybe you become free from certain karma, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it has the type of purity required to offer it to Krishna. So real purity means, again, yome bhakti apriyachati. You have to have the bhakti. Even if you have something that's karma-free, but there's no bhakti which you offer it, it's not fit to be offered to Krishna. So anyway, we should make a distinction between freedom from impurity and the presence of devotion. You may use the word pure to indicate that something is free of karma, but it's not pure in the sense that it doesn't have devotion. So better to have devotion, even if something's not materially pure. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he offered Krishna poison because poisoned food, because that's what his father gave him. So poison is certainly impure. It's not fit to be offered to Krishna, but because he had devotion, therefore it was acceptable. But the best thing is that things should be materially pure and offered with devotion. That's the best combination of both things. Any questions on that?
From Jairade.
Okay, that's last question. Then we can talk a little. Then we need to go to talk to Karunamayi.
Mm-hmm. It's about karma. She says when she speaks with non-devotees about karma, they understand it in such a way that they don't have to put effort in anything because everything is predestined anyway, so we cannot change anything. And also with devotees, we also discussed this question. Where is the golden balance, how to say, between the effort, our efforts, and between accepting situation as it is? Sometimes devotees take it in such a way, for example, when they are sick, they say, why bother, why to cure, try to cure ourselves, because Lord controls everything anyway. Or why do we have to work? Anyway, what is destined will come to us, so we don't have to work. So how to properly understand karma and to explain this subject to non-devotees?
Okay, but this is going back to the topic of popular topic of fate and predestiny. What is actually, fate or predestiny and free will, not fate, uh-huh, and predestiny. So karma means fate or it means destiny, and on top of that we have our free will. And both of those things are integral in the lives of human beings. You have will in order to be able to influence your karma, and your karma also influences your will. And the balance of the two is intelligence according to the direction of scriptures. Give the one of the examples you said was, why should I work? Everything will come of its own accord if it's my karma. But scripture says that people should work. If you don't work, how do you have a social structure without working? So our business is to follow the instructions of scripture and to work according to our natures. And we work according to our nature without working too much and without working too little. That requires intelligence to determine what that balance is. And then when you're doing your best and still you can't change your standard of living, then you accept this is my karma. So that's how we have, both we have our karma, but also we are obliged to exercise our will in order to work and in order to maintain ourselves in the world. Because the logic of not working, if you take it to its extreme, it means that everyone should just sit in a hole and not do anything, and that's what life should be about. Now you don't have to go outside to a toilet anywhere. If it's meant to be outside, it'll get there by itself. Or if you're meant to wear clothes, then clothes will appear on your body. Since you're not born with any clothes on, then you should walk around naked all your life. So no, we have to work. And why do we have to work? Because our present work determines our future. It's not that we're just living off our past karma and that's all that life is about. Our present life is to actually determine our future, and future for devotees is to go back to Godhead. Human form of life is meant for the people work in such a way that they understand who they are and that they become liberated. And that requires an exercise of will for you to work at the present. But what type of work you should do, what's the balance, that requires direction of scripture and the use of intelligence to know how to apply scripture. So that's why we don't do anything, because things are our karma. Things may be our karma, but we have the opportunity now to also make new karma, and with that karma to actually take us back to Godhead. Is that okay?
Ответил я на твой вопрос?
Да, да, спасибо.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right, I guess before signing off, then well, I'm just here in New Brijadam and staying here for a little while, and then I'm going to go to and then I'll go to Canada in the middle of June for a couple of weeks. And aside from that, I will be here. I'll come back again and still be here. Was there any news on Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani?
Yes, the book is in the printing house, and it's being printed, and probably by 17th it should be ready. Probably you'll be carrying it for your Vyasa Puja.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Okay, 10 persons are coming for Vyasa Puja, and we already booked the tickets, and we will stay on the farm from 26th of May to 5th of June. And if it's possible, we would like to see you there to meet you.
I will be here. I said, Raima, that they would stay longer, and then then we can... that would be good. Very good.
Gerardi says that Satyavati is sending you her obeisances, and her son is almost 1 year old, and she's planning to write a letter to you.
She's up in Bernal.
Sorry, where Bernal?
Where is she?
А где она?
Она живет в Томске, как и раньше.
So she's near Tomsk.
Yeah, I haven't heard from her in some time.
Да, я давно уже ничего не слышала о ней.
Okay, so should we talk with Karuna Mai and Dennis? Is Dennis there?
Да, yes, Dennis is here.